just talking to a staff member here on the Armstrong and Getty Show. Now that we're on in cities all over America, coast to coast,
honored,
top to
humbled.
Bottom, this particular person is a native Californian where Easter is not a thing for most people. And you don't hear that much about it. How
well, certainly Good Friday is not.
And Good Friday is not.
Yeah.
How in much of the country, it is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Easter and Good Friday. Noticed yesterday I was going to a grocery store that is open all day on Sunday with regular hours. Where I grew up and when I grew up, unimaginable.
Oh, yeah.
That it would
right.
be open regular hours on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a thing. No, nothing was open.
No, of course not.
So, depends on where you live. But anyway, happy Good Friday. Is that the correct term?
No.
What do you say?
You can say whatever you want, but that would be
you.
An interesting
thing. Thank you for honoring my First Amendment rights.
I don't, there's no official thing. It's,
well, I don't want to be offensive.
I don't think it's offensive.
I'm wearing Easter clothes. I'm wearing pastels.
Okay. Was that in the Bible?
I don't know.
I do.
The Bible!
I'll have to read the NIV version. It might be in the NIV version of the Bible.
And pastels. Then they donned pastels
exactly.
to celebrate the resurrection. I'm pretty sure it's not in there.
Came across this from The Hill, an opinion piece by a woman called Kristen Tate.
He says that to sound more sophisticated.
The sheer size of our government workforce is an alarming problem.
Oh, boy.
We've been talking about this for a while,
yes.
Like our whole careers. But some of the numbers are astounding. Walmart, which is everywhere. There ain't a place you're listening right now where you ain't got at least one Walmart.
Well,
I mean, I come from the smallest of small towns in the middle of nowhere, and there's a Walmart within driving distance.
And a Walmart ain't a Starbucks either. They've got thousands of employees.
Right.
They're huge. They're teeming with humans.
Walmart has a presence in communities of all shapes and sizes, is the largest private employer in the country with 1.5 million workers. But that number is dwarfed by the number who rely on the federal government for their paychecks. The federal government employs 9.1 million workers.
Wow.
Walmart, biggest private employer in the country, 1.5. The federal government, we're just talking federal. We're going to add in state, local in a little bit.
Oh, that's
exciting.
Other
people on the government dime.
Right.
9.1 million federal workers comprising nearly 6% of total employment in the United States. That's 2.1 million federal employees, 4.1 million contract employees, 1.2 million grant employees, 1.3 million active duty military personnel, more than 500,000 postal service employees. Now, many of these people are high-quality workers who provide necessary and worthwhile services, of course.
Absolutely true.
However, there are valid economic reasons to be concerned by the sheer size of the public sector workforce. Government employment operates separately from market forces and causes a disconnect from the economy, which I think we all understand or should.
Mm-hmm.
During downturns, many businesses have to pull back on operations or payroll. But since Washington is the power of taxation and printing dollars, there's no incentive for tightening its belt beyond vapid election year promises. Federal workers often enjoy pay and benefits that the private sector workers can only dream of. God, this gets to me yesterday. Somebody was talking about the Mueller report and this and that and FBI and degraded public employees and people who get into public service and are now being, how many people that work for the government got into it because they want to serve the public? Or did you know that's the best job out there for you? You're going to make the most money. You're going to have the most security.
Right.
As a percentage, I'm thinking it's like 98-2.
Yes.
It was just the best gig out there.
Mm-hmm.
It pays better and you can't get fired. Quit talking about the whole public service crap. That's a load of crap.
I would agree.
But it gets stated all the time. People who got into public service are now being denigrated. Public service, my hiney. Listen to some of these stats. For example, federal employees receive pay that is 17% higher on average than private sector employees who perform comparable work, even though they work 12% fewer hours on average. Meanwhile, federal workers face a 0.2% chance of getting fired in any given year.
One-fifth of 1%.
You're going to hate the way this is worded. More than 45 times lower.
I hate that.
Than their private sector counterparts.
Don't express a fraction as a multiple. disgusts me.
But the point remaining, yeah. It's not even close. You basically can't, you make more money. You work less hours.
Better benefits.
I don't think this even includes the fact that in many cases you're going to get health care for the rest of your life and a pension, which does not exist in the private sector. I don't think they're factoring that in. And you can't get fired. I mean, right. So the public service, you got into it. I just want to serve the public. I'm taking a cut in pay, and I'm working hard to serve the public. I'm not mad at you, but let's just call it what it is.
Oh, no, I'm not denigrating any individuals, no. Unless they're doing a crappy job, and a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Let's keep in mind also that government doesn't reward success. In most cases, it rewards failure. On a departmental level, anyway, you get a bigger budget. It's all about turf. It's all about keeping your money and your power so it grows and grows. And lest this not be tossed out during the discussion, the fact that the government itself has become one of the most, if not the most, powerful lobby of government. That is a perversion that the Republic cannot stand. The government itself is the only thing the government answers to.
Sure.
The government class. That's dangerous.
As this woman,
freaking Putin isn't dangerous compared to that.
As this woman mentioned, there's no market forces or anything. I mean, if times get tough or your department's not doing well, there's no market forces to handle that whatsoever.
Right.
And I had another point.
Well, in the public employee unions, which are just a blight on a democracy, they are a dangerous, dangerous thing.
Oh, we were talking to somebody who's a manager
Totally lost the thread, just speaking for myself.
I've eaten so many of those chocolate eggs that my mouth is all gummed up. I'm just popping
those
eggs.
Well, you got your cheeks stuffed full of them right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to talk.
It's a ridiculous look.
Trying to talk with my cheeks bulging with those chocolate
eggs. Terrible. Like a six-year-old.
Chocolate eggs.
What are you trying to tell us there?
God, how am I going to stay away from those this weekend? The house is full of them as we're getting ready to set them out for the kids with the Easter bunny coming.
Willpower. Set a limit.
Yeah. It's one of those weird things about willpower in that I would never, under any circumstances, go to the store and buy some.
Right.
But if there's a big bag of them there on the counter, hey, I pop a couple every time you walk by. It ain't going to add up to much other than maybe 2 pounds at the end of the day. Back to the government employee thing.
Yes.
We were talking to a manager in a private sector industry the other day that I will keep vague,
okay,
who was saying that the current conditions, they're just going to have to learn to work harder for a lot less money.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever happen in government where people have to work? You now have to work harder and you're going to get less money for it. Does that
and we've
ever
already
happen?
Fired 30% of your departmental employees.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're already doing a job and a half to two jobs. Hey, folks, we got to go even leaner. You're going to do more work for less money. Those words have never been spoken in the halls of government.
So in federal government, pay is 17%
except
higher.
Perhaps in the military.
Pay is 17% higher, 12% fewer hours. Then you add in the benefits, healthcare, all the other stuff that comes with a lot of these jobs, and you can't get fired compared to the very real likelihood. In fact, almost certainty in the modern age, if you talk about people switching jobs and everything like
right.
that, you're not going to be able to stay in that job. While full-time federal employee compensation and benefits are above market, at least these figures are relatively transparent and accountable. And then you get into all the contract stuff where there's really no transparency on that. And that's a growing field. The contract government, federal government contract jobs mm-hmm. that we don't pay any attention to. So it kind of, it just goes away. There's even less market force. When you factor in state and local governments, which together employ 7.4 million workers, the entire government workforce as a share of total employment in the nation now sits at more than 18%. 18% of people are in a government job.
Wow.
And all of them are very difficult to get fired in.
I wonder if there's I know there's not, but I wish there were a generally agreed upon tipping point where, you know, smart economists and philosophers agree that, yeah, once you get to this percentage, because of the concentration of power, the people really don't have a say anymore. We've got to be close to it, past it, or almost at it. Because, again, the employee unions and the government itself, they resist any effort. Look at the Tea Party movement, which, in spite of what you've heard on MSNBC, where they lie all the time, was a movement about smaller government. smaller government, lower taxes, less regulation, that sort of thing. And it was one of the bigger social movements to come along in the last 50 years. Got a bunch of Congress people elected and went in terms of accomplishing its goals, which were to oppose what you just described. So, I don't mean to be discouraging. It's Friday and the rest of it, and life is still good, and a kiss is still a kiss, but...
And chocolate bunnies are still chocolate bunnies.
Yes.
The solid kind or the hollow kind.
Right, right. But I think we're in a hell of a spot, and people don't... And, I'm sorry, people in general are asking for more and more government. So...
That's where we're going, man.
We got that going.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I'll stop. Okay. Got this text. I'll just let you know. I knew we'd get this. Jack, Easter isn't about chocolate eggs, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It's about marshmallow peeps.
I still have never had a peep. Saw them in the store the other day. I don't know what a peep tastes like.
I don't even know who you are.
They look disgusting.
They are.
They're the best thing ever.
You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Wiped the footprints off my dash, tore it through sun faded.
Somebody texted, I'm a full-on adult, and just hearing the term hollow chocolate bunny still gives me sadness.
I heard that. In my formative chocolate-eating years, I was gifted with a solid bunny or two and came to expect that all chocolate bunnies would be solid. And then the chocolate bunny trend began, and... It's difficult to even describe my disappointment.
I don't know if my kids see. I don't know. Because you're right. If you ever have the solid bunny, then the hollow one is always, you're just a disappointment.
Well, it's fraudulent. I mean, the amount of chocolate is not the question. You're presented with something that appears to be a chocolate bunny. And in fact, it's an air bunny coated with a thin veneer of chocolate.
Well, it's a Trojan bunny, and hidden inside is disappointment.
Drop the mic.
Oh, God.
Beautiful. Most respectful Good Friday and Easter weekend all of our friends.
I'm feeling extra guilt about Easter and in my parenting and everything this year more than ever for some reason. Maybe I'll talk about that later, or maybe I won't. It just, why portray myself as a bad parent? Is that a good way to get ratings?
No. I'm sure it's fine. Go ahead and say it.
You pipe down.
Anyway, so Jimmy Kimmel does this thing called unnecessary censorship, which we've been airing for years. Always makes me incredibly uncomfortable, and I'm afraid we're going to lose our job.
Here's the point. They bleep out words that are innocent. There are no dirty words said.
If you hear something, and sometimes it's filthy, if you hear something dirty, it's your own sick mind. You need to take a look in the mirror, really, because nothing bad was actually said.
On the other hand, this is very, very funny. Unnecessary censorship.
So the president has the right to f*** any of us at any moment. He showed his right, his constitutional right, by f***ing Jim Comey. He could have f***ed Mueller. He could have f***ed McGahn, Sessions, Kellyanne Conway. He didn't do that.
I'll never f*** you, I promise. That'll never happen.
Those other 18 individuals that butt f*** Bob Kraft, we certainly wouldn't be having this conversation, and no one would be looking at those videos. Okay, so if you ever wanted to eat cock for breakfast...
One way you can volunteer is by being a boat host. The requirements, well, that you like to fish and you have a f***ing boat.
There you go, a fishing boat.
That's the funniest one ever. And then you have a fishing boat.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Now, I heard some pretty filthy things in there, which means I have a problem.
You do have a problem.
Being a boat host, the requirements, well, that you like to fish, and you have a f***ing boat.
Oh, that so works. That so works.
That's something.
I love that. So, listen, we are going to hit a couple of the key points of the Mueller report in the response.
Trump comes off as very Trumpy in the Mueller report at various times.
Listen,
shocking to me, just as the way he is appears to be on the surface.
You know what? Last hour I said I would present my open and shut analysis of the obstruction of justice stuff. Mm. And I think I have time now. And it's
as a prosecutable criminal thing or as a political thing? Because nothing's up in short politically, obviously.
Well, I'll do both if you want. I think politically speaking, it's all so baked in, it really won't change anybody's minds. What we know at this point, which we'll get to in a second or two. Unless it is just, like I said before, Trump fatigue. People just think, we need something new. This is making me crazy. Because, you know, let's face it, it's all been very volatile and heated. But in terms of the legal or impeachable, which I realize is politics, not law, but obstruction of justice thing, it is, and I sound like I'm tooting my own horn here, because I am. It's exactly as I guessed it would be. It would be a guy angry and frustrated at an investigation of something that didn't happen, which was hamstringing his presidency, who was unfamiliar with the levers and the proper use of the levers of presidential power. So he was ranting and raving and huffing and puffing and demanding and suggesting things to his people, Don McGahn, among others, the White House counsel, Jeff Holder, the new guy, what's his name?
Sessions?
Sessions, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Jeff Holder, I just combined Jeff Sessions and Eric Holder.
How dare you?
Would take Dr. Frankenstein at least. But anyway, so he's huffing and puffing and demanding things. I would put it asking or suggesting bad ideas. And his senior staff said, that's a bad idea. We can't do that. And he said, okay. That's it. We ought to fire Mueller. And his White House counsel said, no, we shouldn't, and we probably can't, at least not for this reason. And he said, okay. That's not much.
More on that to come. What's coming up in your news, Marshall?
Indeed, the battle over the Mueller report far from over. North Korea's got a new weapon, and we've got the latest for you on that.
I want to hear that.
We got a bigger button.
And the new Uber app that indeed could save your life, coming up.
An Uber app that's going to save my life. Can't even imagine what that is. I guess I'll have to stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show. Available right now
via the iHeart app and iTunes.
Our two new podcasts.
Armstrong and Getty, One More Thing. That's our daily after show podcast.
And Armstrong and Getty Extra Large, featuring our interviews of the most interesting people in the world.
Subscribe today via the iHeart app or iTunes.
Or wherever podcasts are given away for free.
Because we're stupid.
USA Today's headline is Trump tiptoed on edge of obstruction.
I don't think that's unfair.
I think they're going to haul Mueller up there and they're going to
Mueller haulers.
And they're going to ask him and he's going to say, and they're going to ask the questions in such a way to get him to say that if it were a regular person doing the same thing, he would have charged him with obstruction of justice. And that's going to be the big political story they run with up till election. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, to no effect would be my guess.
Honestly. I don't know. You don't have to move many people, you know, if it affected a percentage in a close election. But
yeah.
I don't think it'll move a lot of people. It's
depends
not like
who runs.
I don't think it would be an, oh, my God, you know, polls shift dramatically moment.
Right. Hey, quick note. According to one of our beloved listeners, Kate Smith sang the song we were talking about earlier with a black man named Paul Roberson, and it was definitely a criticism of racism. But now sounds racist, or if you miss the irony, it sounds racist. And so they've banned her version, Kate Smith's version of God Bless America, from Yankee Stadium. And the Yankees organization is probably thinking, we don't need the headache. Yeah, we understand.
Sure.
You're right.
And that doesn't matter. But the only part that matters
it
is...
It does matter when you kowtow to angry idiots. But
the part that matters is, how far are we going to go with this?
Right.
This presentism, you know.
Right.
In England, they took down their most beloved poem. They have a national poem they were all proud of by Kipling.
Which is great.
Because he said favorable things about colonialism, they've taken that down from monuments.
And Oxford took it down? Or one of your big...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's off of monuments and no longer recited in schools and all that sort of stuff.
Mm. stupid.
But anyway, let's get the news now with Marsha Phillips.
Well, the question is, what does Congress do now? It's up to Congress to decide what to do with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's findings about President Trump. Former Congressman Trey Gowdy says he knows what they're going to do. They're going to investigate. Democrats will not move on.
You're going to have Schiff. By the way, he's not done with collusion. His political future depends upon there being collusion. He's going to go look into that. And, of course, Nadler and the rest of them are going to go look at obstruction of justice. So it's going to last for 2 years. It will not be bipartisan.
There's something to look forward to.
Speaking of Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, he's just issued a subpoena for the full unredacted Mueller report, and he wants it by May 1st.
But when he was asked about impeachment yesterday, he said, we're not there yet. So did Schiff.
Yeah.
Now, the number two behind, what do you call the person behind Nancy Pelosi?
Majority leader?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Steny Hoyer said, no, we need to move on to other issues. He actually said move on from impeachment to other issues.
So you're 18 months away from an election.
So your leadership is not as enthusiastic about this whole impeachment talk as the media is, and AOC and some of the other presidential candidates. A bunch of the presidential candidates talked about impeachment yesterday. But, you know, it is, as Barack Obama once called it, silly season, so...
Of course, it's silly season now all the time.
Year-round.
Yep. Meanwhile, Republicans were saying it was time to move on from what House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy called the Democrats' effort to, quote, vilify a political opponent. He also said the report didn't deliver what he called the imaginary evidence incriminating Trump that he said the Democrats were hoping for. Trump's advisor, Kellyanne Conway, pretty much echoing that statement.
His greatest rebuttal will be he's in office, he's going to remain in office, and he'll get reelected because the Democrats have nothing. They banked everything on this.
So the back and forth continues.
I know. She's almost stated that out loud. Nancy Pelosi, for instance, she's worried about what Kellyanne Conway just said. Look, if we bank on impeachment and running this guy out of the office that way, we're going to miss our chance to win an election. Let's focus on things we can do for people in legislation and good arguments and that sort of stuff. But I don't know if she can. She certainly can't control the media.
No. Although, and this is a good study of how politics actually works. Nancy's marching orders to her people when they're home in their districts, which is now, is kitchen table issues, as they're called. Let's talk drug prices. Let's talk health care. Let's talk jobs and that sort of thing. And she's right, and that's smart. Simultaneously, though, you've got the whipping up the base part of the party, and Schiff and Nadler are working that angle, trying to keep people hot to trot and angry so they keep donating money and you know, giving their names to the mailing list.
And I like that phrase you mentioned, Jack. They're saying we're not there yet.
Yeah. Sure,
it's
of course.
Like yet. So it could happen any moment now. All right, one day after North Korea claimed to have test-fired a new weapon, CNN is reporting U.S. intelligence doesn't believe the North successfully launched a fully operational new weapon. Instead,
turns out Fathead just kicked a football into the air, but he kicked it really, really high. He's a big man.
I don't think he could get
He's got the fat guy calves.
He couldn't get his foot up high enough to kick a ball.
The only advantage to being overweight is you get really muscular legs.
The U.S.
From just carrying around your torso?
Yes.
Okay.
The U.S. assessment is that North Korea tested components for an anti-tank weapon. An official telling the network that satellites and aircraft...
In case they're invaded...
Ground invasion.
A ground invasion from the United States with tanks.
Any moment now.
Seems fairly unlikely.
An official telling the network that satellites and aircraft did not detect any indication of a launch of any kind of short-range tactical weapon or ballistic missile. It's believed that the component testing is most likely meant to keep pressuring the U.S. after President Trump and North Korea and Kim Jong-un's summit fell apart in Hanoi earlier this year. All right, taking a look at other things now. Oh, by the way, it is time for Positive Sean's one-word market report.
The market is closed. I don't understand. If our money is not working, why are we? Legislation for this, Nancy Pelosi. Get on it.
There you go.
National holiday.
I'd be for that.
One last note. Uber is introducing a new feature to remind users to make sure they get into the right car. The move coming several weeks after that South Carolina college student was killed when she mistakenly got into a car that she thought was her Uber. Uber says they're now going to send a push notification to riders reminding them to check the driver and the vehicle with the alert, including the driver's name, photo, license plate number, and vehicle make and model.
We all do that. That's how you figure out which car's yours, unless you're hammered drunk in the middle of the night.
Well, no,
you're not going to.
Uber's saying they're going to amp that notification up, so you will not miss it.
Unless you're hammered drunk.
That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips. Here I'm Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
Which doesn't make her the reason that horrible story happened, but yeah, just one of those awful things.
So it reminds you to check those things,
yes.
Or requires it? Well,
no,
yeah, and again, if you're drunk enough, it just nothing matters.
Yeah, it's a push notification to say, remember.
You essentially will get a text message as it's popping up being like, hey, just so you know, this is the car that you're looking for.
Right.
Do we know that she was hammered drunk? I know she was out.
I don't know that. I would assume, having hung out in that very area of town at that time of night, there weren't very many people that weren't hammered drunk. That's what that whole little area is for.
What?
Of that town.
Sounds like
Columbia,
a den,
South Carolina.
Den of iniquity to me.
It is a bit.
Drinking in that town?
No, that'd be funny. You get your house remodeled and actually have a den of iniquity built.
This is the library, this is the kitchen, this is the den of iniquity.
Yeah. That explains the chains.
Yes.
The wet bar, the... What is that? Acrobatic equipment? Yeah, in a way.
Got another teacher sexing up her student. You know, those stories pop up almost daily. I think it's worth revisiting the conversation of, is there a difference between a male teacher and a female student, or a female teacher and a male student, based on the way this woman was charged, what she was charged with, among other things we've got for you today. Amazon with a new music listening service?
Hi.
What now? You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
So this was on Saturday Night Live a couple of years ago, and I think about it every time one of these teacher-student sex things comes up, when it's a male high school student and a female teacher.
The age matters.
Of course.
Yeah.
But,
high school is one thing. 13-year-olds is another.
But, what was I going to say? Oh, so this is Pete Davidson, long before he was Ariana Grande's fiancé. Playing a high school kid on the stand in a courtroom testifying against his female teacher.
When your classmates became aware of your relationship with Ms. Luna, what happened at school?
I just remember giving thousands of high fives.
Did the kids call you names?
Yes, ma'am. The man, luckiest guy ever, my hero, baller, Lil Pimp, Lil Baller. The one, Goodyear Pimp, Fred Pimpstone, Ren and Pimpy, King of the Teachers, After School Special, Teacher's Petter, The Boy Who Lived, Gavin the Great, Magic the Gavining, Legend, Supercalifragilistic, This Be Such a Dope Kid, and He Who Has Sex with Teachers. I'm sorry, that's all I can remember, but those were the main ones.
Wow.
So the point of that skit being, and the reason people were laughing, and the reason there wasn't a national outcry about the jokes, was I think that most people think a high school boy having sex with a female teacher is not the worst thing that ever happened to him.
Right.
We look at it just plain and simple. We look at it differently than if it were a male teacher and a high school girl.
Which is not to say it's acceptable. But it's a different sort of unacceptable.
It's way different.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just thinking, I don't have any daughters. I do have sons. I think...
Two daughters over here, boss.
I think if I had a daughter in high school and I found out the male teacher was, in this case I'm about to talk to, giving her booze and then having sex with her, you'd have to keep me from killing him or physically assaulting him, and I'd go directly to the police. If it's my son, I think I go to her house and say, hey, knock it off. This isn't cool.
Right.
I'm going to have to go to the authorities if you don't stop.
Yeah.
But that's about it, because it's a different thing, which is why people were laughing at those jokes. You couldn't do that Saturday Night Live sketch.
No way.
With a girl on the stand making jokes about how cool it was to have sex with an adult male.
Right. It's unthinkable.
It's unthinkable. But our legal statutes don't look at it that way. So you got this 41-year-old woman who had sex with a couple of different high school boys.
41? Come on, she's 41. Darling.
And they're both her daughters. She's got a couple of daughters who have boyfriends. She had sex with her daughter's boyfriends who are high schoolers.
Are they sure they weren't making porn?
Does sound like that sort of
thing. Wow.
And she was giving them booze. She'd provide them alcohol, and then she would sex them up. But here's what she was charged with. Are what the prosecutor said. The crimes in this case committed by the defendant involved great cruelty and callousness, especially considering that the defendant took advantage of the position to molest the boys, blah, 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 blah. Get down to where she's and charged with, horrifying crimes against youth and all this sort of stuff. And I just wonder why we... The only reason it bothers me is I think it lessens the impact of the other side of it. I think anytime you have one that's too much, it lessens the other side.
Yeah, kind of average them out in your head in a weird way.
Yeah, that's the only reason
I
care.
Or society's asking you to. Well, and what's really interesting about this is that the vast majority of people see it the way you're describing, and the reaction...
the jokes on Saturday Night Live.
The reaction of the Saturday Night Live audience just makes that infinitely clear, but every time we bring this up, we have an angry and aggrieved, very small minority who are really, really angry. And say no, there should be no double standard. I just think
there just is.
They're ignoring
reality.
Let's
grow up,
is not to say I think it's cool.
No, I wouldn't be happy that it happened.
It's different levels of unacceptable for reasons I just feel so dumb even having to explain it.
Well, right.
There's a difference between innies and outies in 100 different ways.
The defendant was involved in great cruelty. I doubt that the high school boys felt that way.
Right.
And I'm not a psychologist, but I doubt that they're going to need therapy when they're older to deal with this, whereas with a woman, almost certainly you would.
I think, honestly, I think they might need a little therapy now because, and this is a hell of a discussion on Good Friday, my friends. How much do I share? Well, I'll tell you this. To go from a fully sexual relationship with an adult woman to dating girls in your class, and I'm talking about, you know, there are different levels of sexual awareness and sophistication and the rest of it, depending on where you live and who you're talking about. Although teen sex and pregnancy are way, way down, which is interesting. But anyway, to go from a fully sexual relationship with a grown woman to dating girls again, that would be really difficult for a young man, a boy, to process. That's not easy.
Sure. The only reason I even bring it up, I don't like the flattening of this whole sexual abuse thing, whether we call everything sexual assault.
Including kids who rode their bikes onto a college campus and patted a young woman's bottom.
So unwanted kisses and rape get thrown into the same category as
sexual assault.
That's
Chad.
Wrong, and I don't like the high school boy thrown in with the high school girl. Is it the same thing either? I just don't think it helps. I don't think it helps women.
Right.
Also, I was thinking about, this occurred to me the other day. I knew a guy in high school who was having sex with a married woman. Do I think, and I haven't talked to him since high school, but do I think he felt like he was the object of whatever that said there, great cruelty? He sure didn't seem like it at the time, as he was bragging about
it. Well, he was a child. He didn't know. He couldn't stand up for his own rights, Jack.
Doubt looking back on it.
Boy, a married woman?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
He was a bagger at the grocery store, and he was one of those high school guys that at 16, geez, at 14, he was a full-on, he was his full height, had a mustache.
Right, okay.
You know, he was a grown man at 14.
Right. Yeah.
But lonely married woman hit on him when he was a bag boy at the grocery store.
Yikes. Wow. Wow. Anyway, all the nights I spent dreaming of something like that.
Anyway is right.
Speaking of children, we had you remember tax day? That was 4 whole days ago. Seems like a year.
Hey, good question. I hate to interrupt you.
No,
you just made a good transition.
We got plenty of time.
What if it's a male student and male teacher? I don't know. What is that?
That happens a fair amount.
Yeah, that does happen. And from what I understand, tell me if I'm wrong on the text line, is somewhat culturally acceptable in the gay world, in the gay community?
Yeah, yes. it's not uncommon.
Text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Right. Gosh, I don't even want to get into that.
I don't really want to either.
That's a really thought-provoking question.
It is.
Yeah, and we thank you for asking it. It's also a, how you say, minefield. In the media, particularly given the length of time remaining in this fascinating segment.
God, we're getting more texts on this than I could read in a day.
Just read a couple of them.
It's just funny what strikes a nerve with people. Well, with texters anyway, which are their own certain kind of person.
Bizarre and troubling subgroup, subculture. What do you got for us?
A number of women commenting on how cruel it was to her daughters. Yeah, don't have sex with your daughter's boyfriends.
Oh, yeah.
What does that do to your daughter? There's the victim, probably right, with the longest lasting problems.
Well, yeah, that's an extra layer of this is a morally bankrupt, awful human being.
What's that make you think of your mom and
that she's a slut? And that she's willing to indulge her slutitude at the expense of her daughters. That is an amoral. That's somebody with a serious problem. She got to get her a head doctor when she gets out of jail.
Somebody texted, tens of thousands of 18 and 19-year-old boys are convicted of sex crimes every year with something on their record for having sex with their junior and high school girlfriend.
That is not true in most jurisdictions. It matters the age difference.
It shouldn't happen, because that's obviously.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a myth. Although it's the danger of a poorly crafted law, but I think most states have moved to take care of that.
We got this text. After that double standard point of view, I say goodbye to you after 20 years. Is that trolling, or did we actually lose a 20-year listener over this segment?
It's got to be trolling.
Got to be trolling. You think it's trolling, Sean? You're better at that. You're young.
Well, I mean, yeah. Listen, and I would tell you this. If you're going to drop a never listen after 20 years bomb on us again, you know, you don't have to do anything for me, but you might address the argument we made. Doesn't the reaction of everybody to that comedy sketch indicate that maybe we're not out on an island? But you do whatever you want to do, and God bless you.
And we got this text. Anyway, 0-2.
You know, it's funny. I've got a great Vin Scully-style criticism of communism, Cuban style, coming up.
Cool. On the way. What if it was a transgender male student with a hermaphrodite transgender female student? No, we'll get to that.